The gospel lesson is found in Luke chapter 19, beginning at the 28th verse. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus upon it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. And as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.' As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, 'If you had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you, and you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God.' Then he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling things there. And he said, 'It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers.' Every day he was teaching in the temple. The chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people kept looking for a way to kill him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were spellbound by what they heard." The Gospel of the Lord. On Palm Sunday, we find ourselves in a bit of a dilemma. Should we focus on the joyful aspects of Palm Sunday? Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the festive crowds waving palm branches, the people honoring Jesus by the chivalrous act of throwing their coats on the roadway. Should this be a kind of preliminary Easter celebration? Or should we look at the broader picture of Holy Week, the betrayal of this Palm Sunday crowd that so quickly turned against Jesus? Everyone shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," at the beginning of the week, but by week's end we're shouting, "Crucify him." Even those closest to Jesus denied him or betrayed him or went into hiding, while Jesus went alone to suffer and die. We're tempted to wave our palm branches and focus on this first act of Holy Week, the happy part, the Hosanna part, and then wait for Easter without considering the cross at the center of the story. But we should be reminded that it was because of his suffering and death that we can celebrate Easter. One thing I notice in Luke's account is that we would probably not call this Palm Sunday if it was only Luke's account that we had, because Luke never once mentions the waving of palms. Maybe we'd call this Coat Sunday, because that was about the only detail that Luke records. People lay down their coats for Jesus. They put a coat on the donkey upon which Jesus rides. If Luke were the only gospel we had to go on, we probably never would have learned the word Hosanna, because Luke never mentions anyone using the word Hosanna. And if Luke were the only gospel we had, we would probably never envision little children singing to welcome Jesus, because Luke has no record of children. In fact, you could even wonder, based on Luke's portrayal of this event, how big the crowd really was. Twice we are told that the people doing the cheering were only Jesus' disciples. So what is it that we celebrate on Palm Sunday when everything points to the cross on Good Friday? We can say first that Jesus allows the celebration to go on. In fact, he seems to have planned it all when he sent ahead two of his disciples to fetch a colt upon which he might ride into the city. But his parade was in sharp contrast to the parades of other earthly rulers. Jesus did not choose to ride as a commander of armies, a war horse, but rather came into the city bouncing on this little fuzzy donkey. He doesn't have legions of military troops accompanying him, but rather his own little bedraggled band of disciples and other country folk parading with him. Of course, what they lacked in numbers, they made up for with enthusiasm, because certain Pharisees in the crowd objected to their revelry. And Jesus told them that if they were made to be quiet, the stones would shout out. Jesus allowed the celebration to go on, even though things would quickly turn against him. I read a sermon by Scott Hazee in which he used an illustration from the TV series MASH, if any of you are old enough to remember that show. The setting was the Korean War. The doctor in the field hospital, who went by the name Trapper, was diagnosed with a stomach ulcer. Although he was initially upset about having to deal with this hole in his gut, Trapper was ready to celebrate when his bunkmate Hawkeye reminds him that according to Army regulations, Trapper can go home. His ulcer is the ticket out of the misery of war. However, as the episode develops, he is informed by Radar, the communications officer, that the Army recently changed the regulations and that his ulcer would have to be treated right there on the front lines of the war. Well, a party had been planned, and Trapper allows his party, his going home party, to go on. Everyone seems to have a good time. The party is a kind of an escape from the reality of war, until at the end of the evening, Trapper is asked to give a farewell speech, at which time he must tell the truth, that he's not going anywhere. Throughout the party, both Trapper and Radar have a look in their eyes that reveals the truth. Oh, they smile and they even laugh during the party. They pretend to have a good time. But the sadness in their eyes shows that even though it's a nice party, it's not going to last. there will be more bloodshed and death. I wonder if someone had looked into Jesus' eyes on that first Palm Sunday, they might have seen a similar sadness. Jesus lets the party and parade go on, but there are dark and tragic days ahead. In the later verses in our text today, following the parade, Jesus weeps over the city of Jerusalem and later goes into the temple to drive out those who were making this house of prayer a den of robbers. And our text this morning ends by telling us how the religious leaders, even while the parade goes on, are plotting to kill Jesus. So don't imagine for one moment that the so-called triumphal entry was anything like the spectacle you might see prior to the Academy Awards in Hollywood, with all the celebrities arriving in their limousines and fine clothes, walking on the red carpet and the walkway lined with palm trees and the throngs of fans cheering and shouting. No, this is not the kind of Palm Sunday that the gospel writer wants us to see. I can imagine that Jesus looked a tad ridiculous riding on the back of that little colt with his feet nearly scraping the ground while the people proclaimed Jesus as their king. It was more like a parody of the parades of other rulers and kings who had previously paraded into Jerusalem. So I wonder what kind of king those Palm Sunday revelers expected Jesus to be. Were they still thinking of the kind of political and military leader who would kick the hated Romans out and send Pilate and Herod and all the other foreign rulers on their way back to Rome so that the kingdom of Israel might be restored? Jesus did all he could to turn people's imaginations away from that kind of earthly kingdom. When the parade was over, we see Jesus weeping over the city. He says, if you only could recognize that what God is doing to save you and give you peace, if you could only recognize God's invitation. The people had all the wrong ideas about what kind of king Jesus was and how Jesus was to accomplish his mission. It would have very little to do with politics and power of this world. Jesus' mission was to show the way to the kingdom of God through love and service and forgiveness and humility. It's hard for us to accept this way of God's salvation. We often look for earthly means to bring us prosperity and peace. We pick up the newspaper or turn on the television, and it's the powerful and the rich and the popular and the politicians who get our attention and promise us the good life. We're part of a nation that has the largest military budget of any nation in the world many times over. It's hard for us to look at this one who bounces along on the back of a donkey and recognize that this is God's visitation. During this week, we will consider the wondrous love of God revealed in Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. We don't have to die for our sins, praise God. Jesus did that for us. But we are called to follow the way of the cross, which means that we are called away from the life of selfishness and earthly treasures to a life of love and service. This life is eloquently described in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, or rather to the Philippians. He writes, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." For all of its joyful hosannas, Palm Sunday is a day of contrasts. We hear it in the hymns and the music, pivoting between the happy triumph and the predicted crucifixion. We see it in Jesus as the Lord of heaven and earth, who chose to ride a borrowed donkey to reveal his humility, and who gives his own life as a gift of love for us. As we enter this Holy Week, may God help us to move beyond the festive parade of palms and follow Jesus into the way of the cross. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.